Dina Balon, the Vice President of Sustainable Hospitality for NEWH, and I want to welcome everybody to the call. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have a great session about sustainable design for guests and really have an interesting conversation about how to align sustainable choices that you're making to what guest expectations really are. First of all, I would like to thank our sponsors. None of this would happen without them. So JLF Lone Meadow, Global Lighting, Northwest Carpets, and Valley Forge, thank them very much. They are our sustaining sponsors. They do an annual sponsorship every year that keeps all of our Green Voice sessions going so that we can bring this great educational content to everybody. Speaking of Green Voice, we have a number of upcoming events that we're going to be presenting Green Voice sessions at. Of course, this webinar that you're participating in today, and then the Green Voice conversations at the Lodging Green and Sustainability Conference at the Aria Hotel in Las Vegas, which is on October 28th and 30th. That's going to be a great conference. If you're interested in attending, you can find the registration online. And then the NEWH Green Conversations at BDNY and IHMRS are both going on in New York, November 9th through 11th. And we'll be doing a panel discussion at that event with the three lead platinum certified hotel owners, which is amazing. In fact, Glenn set that up, who's going to be our moderator today. So thank you very much for that, Glenn. And then at the beginning of the year, we're going to have our NEWH Leadership Conference, which will be at the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas, Texas. And that is January 22nd through the 24th. And, of course, we always have a great Green Voice conversation going on at that conference. And that is a wonderful conference to attend. So I strongly recommend you checking that out. And then, as always, we will be at HD Expo in May in Las Vegas. That will be our fifth year in a row doing Green Voice sessions there. So please join us for all of our Green Voice sessions. We are planning another webinar at the end of the year for all of those folks who are trying to squeeze in CEUs. So stay tuned for that. We'll get out some information on that as well. For those that are receiving CEUs today or interested in receiving CEUs, everyone will get an email after the session asking if you're looking for CEUs. Please respond with your phone number. We need to verify that you were both on the phone and looking at the screen to receive your CEUs. And Nicole Crawford with NEWH will be coordinating that, and you'll see her information on the last slide after the session is over. So please, you also need to respond within 3 days, so please pay attention for that email that'll come through. I would like now to tell you about who is going to be speaking with you today. Your moderator is the esteemed Glenn Hasek, the publisher of Green Lodging News. We're really excited to have him with us. He moderates and speaks more than anybody I know, and you're very lucky to have him here. He puts out a weekly newsletter that reaches 4,200 subscribers. All about sustainability in the lodging industry. He covers topics from energy management to water conservation and waste management and, of course, green design. So, Glenn, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you, Dina.
And next we have Adrian Pumphrey, who is the global head of Adoba Eco Hotels and Suites. Adrian is also our Director of Sustainable Hospitality for NEWH, so she's also a leader within the NEWH organization. And Adrian drives the company's overall strategic growth and sustainable investment opportunities. Adoba is a revolutionary and innovative brand that was launched in 2010 and really is focused on, I love their tagline, travel with a purpose, through the commitment of environmental awareness and social responsibility. Adrian has an immense background in hotel operations and brings a great amount of value to this conversation. So thank you for joining us, Adrian. And then third, we have got Helen Reed with HL Reed Design, as well as SeedLogic. She's the co-founder and chief creative officer. And Helen is an interior designer with 25 years experience in the industry and is focused on sustainable food and beverage environments. So really great perspective for everybody here about today. She's also the co-founder of SeedLogic, a technology company creating digital platforms such as Upline.com that helps owners collect and manage all the information about their homes and buildings. Helen has also been our past president for NEWH and is currently on the NEWH Executive Board. So thank you very much for joining us, Helen. We really appreciate you bringing your substantial knowledge about sustainable design to this conversation.
Thank you, Dana.
All right. I am going to hand it over you to Glenn, to get going on the questions.
Thank you very much, Dina, and thank you to everyone for joining us here today. And as we're talking to one another, please don't hesitate to write some questions in the chat box, and Dina, later on in our conversation, will be looking those over and asking our panelists those questions. So our first question for our panelists today is, when you hear the words sustainable design, what comes to mind first, especially as it relates to your guests? And Adrian, you can start if you'd like.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you for this opportunity. Dina, thank you for the very gracious introduction to everyone. What comes to my mind now, which is very interesting, is something very different that came to my mind 5 to 10 years ago. I think from a design and procurement and hotel design perspective, the sustainability point of view has absolutely jumped off the chart. I think with design now, when we hear the word sustainable design, I think we have a great deal of trust that entire process has improved greatly over the last 3 to 5 years, that designers are really reviewing products and choosing products in the most sustainable material that will perform to a standard if you're trying to achieve LEED standard or just really meet the expectation of what the definition of sustainability is. And the best part of it, from our perspective, is the designs that are out there now have really been able, they've just electrified what we can do from a creativity while we're designing our hotel.
And Helen, did you want to talk a little bit about how you see sustainable design as it relates to restaurant spaces especially?
Yeah, absolutely. I too have seen a change in how I think about sustainable design. 5 or 6 years ago, it actually became like a thought during the process of design, but now I see it as something in the forethought. So when we have projects that come in, we immediately bring it to the table of doing sustainable design with the products that will enhance the environment, the employees' lives, and the betterment, you know, of the planet by trying to source local materials as often as we can and using local trades so that we also have an impact, you know, socially with the local communities and get them involved in the property. instead of having it as an afterthought, where I think it was, again, 5 or 6 years ago, putting it up front, making sure that in the pre-planning it's part of the budget so that the owner is involved in having a sustainability plan as part of their design as well.
Well, when I think about sustainable design, as far as the guests are concerned, I think about features that are visible to the guests and those that are invisible to the guests. And I was wondering if each of you could maybe give me a few examples of sustainable design elements that are easily visible to the guests and those that may not be as visible.
I'd be happy to start with that, Glenn. I mean, I think we all are familiar with from what the hotel industry started to do a number of years ago, where we all took an effort to put the sign on the door and, you know, say that we're very green conscious, and if you don't want us to clean our towels today, and we had a note here on the bed. And that was some very early visible signs that sustainability was becoming something of a movement. So where we've moved into now, we have very visible designs that I think our customers, and then I think it's clear from research that the green travel segment is growing, and they're making their decisions really based on the sustainable aspects of a hotel and the overall influence and visibility of the green designs that are important to them. And I think behind the scenes, there's a number of things that are happening that I'm very encouraged to see, that sometimes the guests are, they're never aware of things that are happening when it comes to from a technology perspective. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's a number of innovative new green technologies that are coming to us in the hotel industry at a rapid rate. Like Helen said, you know, before there were individuals that, you know, just wasn't moving as quickly in the sustainable piece of it. We didn't have as many individuals, our vendors to choose from, where now there has just been a full embrace by not just the industry, but by travelers. And I think travelers as well as hotels have really made this push. I think, for example, cost for green processes overall are they're decreasing. And there are incentives that are becoming available. I think the whole future of sustainable technology, it's not something that a guest might see when they come to your hotel, when they don't know what's happening with your server. They don't understand what's happening maybe with your property management decision. And those are very big ticket items for a hotel, and going through that process of A to Z to pick the right one that's very efficient, that's helping you reduce your overall energy cost, is something that's, again, not visible, but it is something that has grown in sophistication and advancement to building automation that really helps the high-control technical and mechanical systems that result in smarter buildings that are not only energy efficient to maintain, are not only energy efficient when it relates to your bottom line, but they're easier to maintain.
Adrian, just kind of an off-the-cuff question. You kind of set the bar high, so to speak, by using the Adoba EcoTel and Suites brand, that name. And so the moment potential guests become aware of your hotels, I mean, they already have an expectation of green design. I mean, have you found guests having higher expectations when seeking out to stay at your properties?
That's a great question. That is absolutely what our intent was, and we have found that. And I think, you know, we may be a little bit of a different, you know, a little bit of a different category or having a different story, because we do have the name EcoTel in our actual hotel name and in our logo. So you know, starting off from where we started 4 years ago with our launch on Earth Day to really solidify our commitment to sustainability and creating that niche in the industry, it has sparked greater conversations with not just guests, but with vendors and with owners, and there's an immediate alignment of this is a green hotel, this is something we have interest in. We work with a company called Review Pro that's able to track any guest that makes any comment regarding their eco acknowledgments or their eco interactions within the brand, and it definitely has been advantageous to us and to allow people to better understand who we are, because we don't have the same brand density at this point as a well-known brand like the Marriott brand or the Hyatt or the Starwoods.
And Helen, could you give me a few examples of sustainable design elements that are easily visible to the guests or invisible to the guests in the projects that you've worked on or designed?
Absolutely. So I think that for visible to the guests for actual materials and repurposing materials, you know, using more elements and making it a point that they stand out. We actually also started repurposing some furniture elements. We may have found something locally that we are having rebuilt or reused in some manner that stands out in a lobby or a public space. And then having, you know, using the low VOC or no VOC products so that they, understand that those types of materials as well are being used. One big thing that we use that gets a lot of feedback is the motion detectors, timers and motion detectors and waterless urinals in the bathrooms. We constantly have people commenting on those on comment cards, which I find always interesting. Invisible parts or also back of the house and in you know, the other areas of dining facilities and in hotels may just building out an area to implement a recycling program, break down boxes, have better storage opportunities for recycling and storing materials, special waste areas for composting, and then also energy-efficient lighting throughout the entire space. A lot of times the patrons don't know that the lighting may be on programmable timers or they may have programmable thermostats with the HVAC. So a lot of that happens behind the scenes and is planned for in the design part and design phase.
Well, when we think about sustainable design, how do we know what guests care about? Adrian?
One of the ways is I think we are able to utilize the Review Pro system, what they track, but we also, there's so many things that are available to us in this day and age that really allows us to understand what customers are looking for. When you think of sources such as TripAdvisor that provides us detailed feedback on a hotel sustainable practice, think about the Green Leaders ratings, When you have that kind of feedback available, which we didn't have 5 or 10 years ago, and the surge of social media, it's been amazing for a hoteliers to really understand, you know, what it is customers are looking for when they're choosing hotels and what they want when it comes to green hotels.
Helen?
Yeah, just to add to that with the social media, we get a lot of feedback and a lot more information through bloggers, big travel bloggers or food writers, when they're bringing in or asking for more of the sustainable effort items in dining environments or in hotels. So social media is really impacting how we're getting that kind of two-way conversation going back and forth.
Helen, can you think of an example of maybe some guest comments that kind of impressed you as being highly favorable of something you had done in sustainable design?
Yeah, we've had comments. We did a living wall in a restaurant that we designed, and it was something that they had never seen before. And when they realized that the living wall was actually helping clean the environment and how much it was helping to do better improvements to the space, people in the community started writing about it and almost educating each other about what this simple moss wall was doing. And we started, there's a picture later on, but we started off with this simple just kind of couple of tiles, and eventually they're going to moss the whole wall because we wanted to make sure it would work in this dining environment. But the feedback was that the living wall in this restaurant was a test on a couple of different levels, but the way that the patrons warmed up to it and how it's become a feature that it's talked about constantly in reviews is one of those ways.
Now, Adrienne, I've been very familiar with your hotels, you know, since the get-go, and here's your opportunity to kind of take us into each of your hotels and talk a little bit about the design features that you would consider to be sustainable and how those appeal to those guests who visit those hotels.
Okay, thank you. You know, one of the things, and I agree so much with Helen, the social media, and the beautiful thing about social media, it's really been able to break down for us the different demographics on, you know, who is really looking for what when it comes to the sustainable outlook or the futuristic outlook of sustainable hotels. You know, for us, what we have found, the millennial travelers, and I know this was mentioned a little bit on an earlier conference call, you know, those 18 between 30-year-old, which represent almost $1 billion in the hospitality industry now and will continue for the next 20 years. They're the ones that's really having that two-way conversation with us and really dominating our social channels on what they like in our hotels, what they found unique, what they thought were some of the cool things in some of our hotels. And one of the things that's been a very popular sustainable feature for us is we identified a product that is part of our brand standard, and it is referred to as an Earth Intelligent Wall Covering. It's a great product. There's no PVCs, no plastics, no chlorine, no heavy metals, and it's made from 31% post consumer recycled material, and it also helps contribute to LEED certification, which each of our hotels are trying to achieve. The interesting thing about this is it becomes your accent wall, and it allows for what we think and what we're trying to achieve in our hotels is it allows for an owner to have a great deal of creativity, and it allows for an owner to really put his hotel in perspective to his local market and kind of reflect the local market in the background. And these walls, not only do they provide this amazing, you know, look of a wall that can help you have the look of your backyard and reflect your neighborhood, the walls are very ecologically conscious. So that has been one of the best products that we've come across when it comes to designing hotels, or even because of the cost. It's very affordable for owners now, and it's been a very big hit in renovating and transitioning hotels.
And Adrienne, where in your hotels is that wallpaper used?
We use it in the guest room.
Okay. Now, if I recall, was it in the South Dakota property, was it scenes of Native Americans, or am I off there?
No, you're totally dead on here. And it kind of fits in with what we're trying to achieve as a brand, and part of our brand culture is we want to have the opportunity to allow an owner to have more creativity and have more influence in what their hotel looks like. And remembering our hotels are, they're independent, so that gives us an opportunity to really kind of put the eco-minded approach, that stamp on everything we do with our standards and our guidelines. So owners have an opportunity to use a highly sustainable product, and at the same time, they can then localize their hotel to bring that experiential piece, which we know is becoming extremely important to all segments of travelers, baby boomers, millennials, and reflect the backyard. So, for example, in Rapid City, you know, we have an amazing, we have five different designs. So you can be in a room that has Mount Rushmore, you have Crazy Horse, you have the, you know, the Badlands, you have a kind of a Sturgis theme for some of those ramped up rooms. And so now you're creating more of a memorable experience for individuals that may not get out because they're there on the one day business travel, but it gives them the idea, plant the seed that, gosh, I'd like to come back there. That's something I'd like to do in the future. So it kind of tells the story of the community at the same time, of really giving the room a real boutique feel. And it's been a huge success for us. We've been very grateful.
Now, Helen, here's your opportunity to talk about a couple or a few of the projects you've been involved with where you've incorporated sustainable design.
Well, one of them actually was a great project. It was the renovation of the Reynolds plant here in Richmond, Virginia. It's actually where they made aluminum foil for many, many years. And as many designers, whenever they're doing a historic renovation, they probably will travel outside of their area to just see what else is going on in the building that's being renovated. And I happened to do so one day after field measuring and came across the contractors just taking up, you know, floors after floors of all this beautiful wood. I mean, a lot of it pine, some oak, and they were just throwing it into piles. And I'm like, what are you all going to do with all of that wood? And they're like, we don't know. They may throw it out. And I'm like, no. And I ended up actually taking, you know, carrying three or four large boards to my car, took it down to a local mill workshop, and they planed it down, and we kind of messed with it for a while. And it doesn't show it well in this pre-rendering of the job, but we ended up using it for almost everything that had to be built out in the restaurant. We used it for all the cabinetry, planed down the wood and lightly clear-coated it with a no VOC finish, and then used it for all the tables. The bar front was also covered with it. And in the ceiling, you can actually see it in the rendering slightly, that area that's got that brick red, we made that into be timbers, so a wood structure ceiling that had LED lights. And now that has become the feature of the restaurant. When the bartenders finish, you know, a tequila bottle, which is pretty often because they have 150 tequilas, they actually make it a ceremony, and they take the bottle, clean it out, and they put it up into the ceiling. Probably at the end of this year, that whole area, which is a long walkway, will be recycled bottles that are backlit that will be the main feature of the lighting in the space. And again, it was all built out of just wood flooring that had no, at the time, had not been repurposed or had any destination. A lot of the wood was eventually sold and has been reused around the city for other areas, like a lawyer's office and some other things. Another thing that we're doing is we've torn down, recently deconstructed a barn up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and the barn was an old green painted barn with some red accents. And we are using that down in Blacksburg, Virginia, at a Wicked Taco, which is a new national concept. In the concept rendering, you kind of see how it's an accent wall that we'll be doing a little story on, and then it'll also be the soffits in the space. We've created a kind of a shell soffit that we'll be building out of this wood. And then all the tables also will be built out of barn wood from the millwork supplier's barn that he has recently deconstructed. Just reusing these materials has, in creative ways, has been a lot of fun. And the owners on this national franchise are really bringing sustainability and planning into to everything that they're doing with this concept as they roll it out across the country.
Helen, was that a cost saver, repurposing that material, or cost neutral, cost more?
It was a cost. I mean, I think it's a cost neutral. We won't, and it'll only be kind of this one-time thing. We have to rethink what we're doing in Raleigh and into the next couple of cities. But for this location, it was cost neutral. We didn't do any type of analysis to use new wood versus trying to buy it from another source. And based on other projects this size, it's actually come in actually maybe a teeny bit little, lower, but I'd say neutral.
Certainly the carbon footprint would be less. So.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's pretty interesting. And this picture is actually, that shows how the moss wall that I was talking about earlier at the Daily, that actually will be all moss. Probably in about 2 months, they're going to moss the entire wall.
That wall way in the back there.
Yeah. Yeah, a moss tile that we got from Vermont. So that wasn't locally sourced, but it's been a key feature in the space.
Well, how do you maintain a wall like that?
The chefs get their kids in there with squirt guns, and they squirt the wall
okay.
about once every 2 months.
Okay. Okay, here's another shot.
Yeah.
Was there anything else particularly
at the Daily? So this is a farm-to-table and also all locally sourced restaurant as far as the food concept. It's mm-hmm. also, you know, very health conscious. The vinyl all had a recycled content. The floor, which was the tile, all recycled content. I mean, everything in here had sustainable qualities. The trees were brought in. Even the shades was a recycled fabric that we used, and of course the recycled aluminum in the chairs.
Okay.
So this everything was also the client's or the chef's mission in this to have as much sustainable recycled materials as possible that they could use within budget.
Well, we've kind of talked about local design choices already, but maybe each of you can perhaps give another example or two of a particular material or piece of furniture or fixture that you were able to source locally as compared to, you know, buying one made overseas, for example. Adrian, can you think of any examples in your properties?
I can, and kind of similar to Helen's story, we worked with, very similar actually, we worked with a company in Rapid City when we started the renovation. There definitely needed to go from ceiling to floor, and we had this amazing idea with, you know, the Terralon earth covering rooms, right? So really to kind of bring that out, because what the wall mural, and basically that's what it is, we call it the wall of wonder with our green point of view. So, you know, what the wall covering is doing, it just demands for individuals in a very subtle way to kind of understand that we have this ecological conscious idea. And when visitors come to the room, they kind of find themselves just immersed in these many different shades and views of the Black Hills. But what we're able to find to complement that is we worked with a company called Stickwood, and it is a company that they're known for tearing down barns, recycling wood, and we did a similar thing with the flooring in all of the rooms, as well as this company took trees that were not that had been torn down in storms. There's a number of storms in that area, and from weather. And they would take what was remaining of the tree that had been broken, and they made our tables. They made, you know, our end tables for next to the guest room beds. They made made bench tables for our guests to put their suitcases on. So, you know, the entire wood, the entire room really became inspired by the local surroundings. And, you know, without having the guests, you know, really putting it into their what we like to do, Glenn, something we're trying to accomplish is, you know, we're trying to take the guilt out of green and kind of move away from our old days as hoteliers saying, okay, you know, pick up your towel, and that's part of our green environmental process. And we want customers to come in, and we don't want them to have to do the work. We really want to take the guilt out of being green and have them enjoy the experience from things that we have put together where they're not doing all the work. Because let's face it, when you're coming to an independent hotel or you're coming away from a memorable or booking a memorable weekend, you want to have a good time. And, you know, you're not home. So maybe you do want to throw your towel on the floor. Maybe you do want to use that robe. So we want to be able to give them that choice and that comfortability and, you know, that kind of enjoyment on their travel. And we really want to do the work behind the scenes so they're able to have that opportunity. So with a number of these designs, from the walling, the walls, to the flooring, to, you know, trees that were, you know, destroyed in, there was a number of fires that unfortunately had happened at that time, and then integrating all of that nature into the room, really, and, you know, set it against this backdrop of a modern, cultured, Carillon wall that then you have all these historical surroundings. It really just provides for, you know, a beautiful room, and it allows, from a cost perspective, we weren't driving up costs at the same time. You know, we're able to maintain our cost per key per room, and then really just kind of depict this room that allows someone to have a memorable experience.
Helen, can you think of a couple of other examples of local design choices?
Yeah, absolutely. We, a lot of times, will bring in a local artist, to whether it's a furniture designer, to make a key piece in a lobby that will stand out. And we find that when we bring in the local people as well, that actually gives ownership to that community, and it becomes a sense of pride. You know, my piece is at, you know, such and such down the street. A lot of times we will also commission artists to do pieces that are within the concept of the space. We find that that also adds that extra, you know, just that you're proud of it and you want to show it off. We're doing one interesting thing in a local space as well, is we're actually going to have the kids, it's actually at Virginia Tech, where the kids will be doing a skateboard design contest, and the skateboards, the top 20, will be the artwork for two semesters. So the seniors and junior level students, it'll be an open contest. They will be able to have their skateboard design, and then at the end of the second semester, which will be in the end of spring semester, we'll change out the artwork and then have the contest again over the summer. So that will bring in that interesting, changing, moving, evolving art, and then they'll be able to actually use the skateboards or sell them, however they want to do that. And we're really looking forward to that kind of design competition.
Thanks, Helen. Now, when you're looking for all these different types of sustainable or green materials, where do you go to? I mean, is there a general source you access, multiple sources? I mean, how do you tap into these local sources? Adrian?
Well, I will say 4 years ago, it was a lot more difficult than it is now. I think the procurement chain has developed in an amazing way, and I think they have recognized that sustainability is really changing the design for the future. But there's still a lot of legwork that needs to happen, especially when you're working very hard to achieve LEED certification and working within that 500-mile radius of trying to find a local vendor. But if you're fortunate enough to have a LEED AP on your team, and you have a team that's kind of dedicated to still going through that process, it is a little timely to ensure that you're getting the right product, the product's being made in the right places, you know, everything from cradle to grave is in place, it can happen. And we have more choices, you know, than we've ever had in the past. And that momentum is only going to continue, which I think is great to see.
Ellen?
When we're looking for local products, we actually also are doing same that Adrian discussed, but a couple of great resources, and I mean, one of them is actually right at our hands is NEWH, the directory, and finding local people through people that may be living there that are part of NEWH. That's one source that we've used for many projects, especially when we're working across the country. Another thing is using social media or even online shops like Etsy and narrowing it down into that, you know, 100-mile radius that we typically look at, or even a 60-mile radius when we're trying to find certain craftspeople that may be able to bring that added element to our project. There's so many opportunities out there from a design standpoint with websites and, you know, other avenues through social media that we're able to find that perfect artisan or craftsperson to bring and do what we're looking for to build for that location.
Okay. I was wondering if go ahead.
Glenn, if I could add, Helen, I think that is an amazing point, and thank you for bringing that up. Because through NEWH, there is an amazing sustainable directory. It is available, and there are many, especially throughout the United States, members that can offer you these products. So thank you so much for sharing that with the group. It's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Adrian, when thinking about the two properties you're involved with, can you think of an example of a design choice that resulted in significant energy or water savings, or maybe even a reduction in waste?
Yeah, we've been lucky. We've had a couple. From a water conservation, starting from Rapid City and moving on to Dearborn, both properties were transitions. So we're talking about 37-year-old buildings that, you know, didn't have some of the most current water conservation features available. So we improved our overall management practices and really were able to kind of dramatically reduce that waste after, you know, working that procurement chain, and did things like install new water faucets. Some had to be custom made. You know, we had water benefits of a new faucet from, you know, 1.5 gallon per minute, you know, from what we had before. Some of them were up to 3.5 gallons. We had new toilet put in, new toilets and water closets put in, where the water benefits, you know, gallons per flush were 2.0 better than what we did before. And we also moved into what's called the new amplifying shower heads. They're a dual flow control shower head. You know, it's very adjustable. You have great water velocity. It just gives you the opportunity to reduce your gallons per fixture, and we installed those on each floor. And the water bill, within 3 months, we could see, you know, a difference of almost 34% year over year in our water bill with a very similar occupancy base than we had the prior year. And that was the only changes that were made, you know, from water. So we know it definitely came from those greening processes that we did with water conservation.
Helen, can you think of an example of a design choice that resulted in energy, water, or waste savings?
You know, we actually are working with some of our owners currently to look at those costs. A lot of the projects that I've shown you today have been within the last year to two and a half years. So a lot of that cost analysis we're just getting reports on. So I don't have those figures to date yet.
Okay. Now, in this conversation, we've talked a lot about trying to bring in local materials, sustainable materials, et cetera. And I was curious to know, well, once you've done all that, how do you convey that story to the guest, to the restaurant patron, for example? I mean, do you have note cards on the tables? Do you have something in the in-room directory, something at the front desk? I mean, something on the website? You know, how do you get your story across after you've done all these things? Adrian?
Thank you. I'll be happy to start with that one. That is one of the beautiful things about social media is, you know, we can move away from, you know, having so much paper in the guest room. So we've been able to do a lot of things, Glenn, through technology. And we've been able to, when we're sending a confirmation to a customer with the technology that we have that's a real time, what's called real-time technology, you know, we're able to put in some tidbits of these things are kind of happening behind the scenes. We have been able to share our story locally in both backyards about moving our restaurant into offering more organic options. There's the ability with our TVs and our guest rooms to actually put a full fact sheet on there and a did you know. And then we're working towards creating a sustainable earth lab. So in combination with our business center, we're going to have this sustainable earth lab where, if, you know, as far as we're thinking ahead of having kindergarten classes come for a tour where they can come in and actually see, feel, and touch what each of these vendors, you know, we work with Interface Floor, we have a great sign company, and some of these vendors that we're working with to understand what these companies do in their process and, you know, how it affects the hotel and what the benefit is. So we're really kind of educating the guests without putting it in front of them, and, you know, not everyone has fully embraced or has the belief as passionately maybe as we do that, you know, green's the way to go, although we are very happy about the growing emergence with the millennials and baby boomers taking that experiential expectation with their stay, and they're kind of looking for it. I think overall the hotel industry and news organizations like yourself are doing a great job telling the story and educating the customers. So when the customer's coming in, they're kind of asking questions. Oh, it's the Green Hotel, and, you know, what's some of your top features? So anywhere from your LinkedIn page to your Facebook pages through Twitter, we have a great deal of engagement through Twitter has allowed us to tell the story and give the customer an education on what's really happening behind the scenes, because sometimes they do come in and they're like, what's green? They have no idea that that's a carpet tile that they're standing on. You know, they have no idea what we've done with efficiencies from, you know, telephone systems to where they were 10 years ago to where they are today and all the property management systems. So we're able to tell that story through various outlets throughout the hotel.
Helen, can you think of an example of maybe something that's done in one of the restaurants you've worked with?
I'm going to say ditto about everything that Adrian just said with the social media. We sometimes have to actually educate the client and the staff to tell the story a little bit, you know, also when they're either waiting on the tables or seating the guests to point out sustainable items, something that may have been reused so that they make it a story as part of the restaurant's history and the life of the restaurant or the dining area. We also encourage them, and a lot of our clients will write a story on the back of a menu or an insert. Most of them put sustainability and their sustainable efforts on their websites or through their Facebook page, and are also posting blogs about it or bringing that up information up, you know, as they're waiting the table, you know, when their waiters, you know, invite the guest or are waiting on the table, also do a quick, you know, this is recycled or this was brought in from, you know, a local resource. So social media, again, is playing such a huge impact on getting that information to the guest. Chefs, if they are doing a local farm-to-table type, or if they actually have maybe a rooftop garden, it's part of that introduction to the menu. You know, our tomatoes are grown on our roof, and we are also going to be going into the fall season, and these items will be on the menu that are grown either in our backyard. We find also that a lot of chefs are trying to find green space close to their restaurants so that they can go and have their own gardens we've looked at areas in cities to have chef's gardens that are close to local dining facilities so that they can continue to tell that story.
Okay. I know we've got about 10 minutes left, so if you do have any questions, now would be the time to enter them for us. But moving forward, Adrian, Helen, can you think of a particular example of a green design decision that had a particularly fast ROI?
Glenn, I can, and it was something that we pondered with and worked on and could not figure out what to do with. Something as simple as the plastic bottle waters in the room. You know, consumers and our guests traveling with rewards program have kind of come to look forward to there's going to be a complimentary bottle of water in your room. And, of course, those bottles were made out of plastic, and that was always an area of, you know, how can we be a green hotel and, you know, continue to talk about our environmentally friendly actions and everything. You've had a great check-in, and, you know, we're doing all the right things behind the scene, and you get to your room, and then here's these two great bottles of plastic water. And we were fortunate enough, after 4 years of working on this project, we aligned with a company called Boxed Water, and this product finally allowed us to eliminate taking the plastic bottle out of the room. And this is a product that comes from, it's 76% renewable. It is made, the actual product is made, they have two plants. One happens to be in Colorado, and one happens to be about an hour from our hotel in Michigan. And it's a pretty fantastic process that they go through. So we're now offering our water through cartons that are recyclable. And the box water is better contained. It doesn't, you know, contain any BPAs or BFDGs. And the life cycle analysis of the box water is better. From the moment, the day we put the box water, we had the plastic water in the rooms for over a year. You know, we had the same fee that pretty much any other full-service hotel would be charging. And we really probably made about $1,000 in selling bottled waters. The moment we put the boxed water with this great packaging, and they do a good job, you know, it has our alignment with our logo, they do a good job talking about their process and how they source it, and, you know, how the water comes from municipal sources and how it's filtered and what impact they do. The bottom line ROI on that is, let's just say it's 300,000 times what our selling of the plastic bottle water was. So not only has it become a true revenue generating source for us, we finally took the plastic bottle out of the guest room. And it's a very small thing. And what it did for us in the hotel world, many of us know that, you know, there was a day and age where you charged for a local call, and a lot of hoteliers and owners really relied on that miscellaneous income from hotel telephone revenue. And gone are those days. Hoteliers don't make money on hotel telephone revenue anymore. And this has really been a good replacement to that, but it literally took us almost 4 years to kind of source a product that would fit our environmental, you know, guidelines, as well as give the guests something that they would like too. So it's our number one posting on Instagram. It's our number one posting on Facebook, and it has become one of the best revenue generating sources for us since we launched the brand.
Now, given our time constraints, I'm going to move on to the next couple of questions just very quickly. And Helen, I was wondering if you could think of an important lesson learned in some of your projects when it comes to sourcing sustainable materials, for example, maybe some advice you could offer to other designers out there who may be just starting to get into this.
Right, yeah, absolutely. one of the biggest struggles that we've had, especially, you know, in the last couple of years with doing sustainable projects, is getting true cost up front on products. So we've gone in and had budget costs from manufacturers that we used in project pricing, and then it got to the point where the contractor bid on it, and it was three or four times the cost of what the manufacturer had given us. And what we learned was if the general contractor was not educated or never used a sustainable material, they were actually tripling the cost sometimes and making it just not even feasible to use. So sometimes we would have to change our specs because the contractor just didn't have the knowledge or they were fearful of that product. A glass countertop, for instance, was one of the things that we had specified a glass countertop and a wine bar, and we priced it out with the millwork contractor and everything was great, and then the contractor got a hold of it and he just was like, I'm not putting glass countertop, and like I said, it tripled. So trying to educate contractors is always a challenge. So if you're starting to go out down the route that you're looking at more sustainable materials, get all of the manufacturer's information and budgets up front. Make sure it works with the property owner's cost, and make sure that there's not going to be any issues with the contractors. And make sure also that your specs are written clearly so that they don't become a fear-based spec for that general contractor, because that can happen. And that just adds dollar signs. The other thing that I would say is make sure that the product is trusted, tested and trusted. You don't want to be trying a new product in a hospitality environment that's really never been used and it's new on the, you know, especially in the hospitality world. You'll see a lot of vendors say, well, this is a great sustainable product. We've been using it residentially for years. We're just getting into the hospitality market. Make sure that it is going to really hold up to what standards our industry asks for. We've had to replace things that we thought would be able to hold up, and they didn't. And, of course, they were warranties, so we had no problem with that, but it was a fight to get them replaced. So I always think you should have referrals on any products you're not sure about.
And then just one final question from me. Perhaps, Adrian, you could answer this question. If you could give an example, and I know one that you certainly can't talk about, of how your company is reacting to this whole wellness movement, and I know you can talk a little bit about the Pure Rooms you've put in at your Dearborn property.
We've been very fortunate. Thank you, Glenn, for bringing it up. We just know staying at a hotel and traveling in general can be very guest weary, and the thought sometimes of just sleeping in a strange bed in a strange room is enough to put many travelers on edge. And so we were fortunate enough to align with the company Pure, which offers a specialty guest room that has been designed for those active road warriors, those travelers in mind, just to have a healthier and stress-free travel experience. They were fairly new when we started working with them. They take many steps to kind of align the health and wellness core values of the guest room by a Pure certification process that they follow. We have a number of those rooms available at our hotel, have a percentage, and they, in the beginning, you know, individuals didn't really know what does that mean and what is this, and we were able to work with Pure and introduce them to Expedia, and we now offer that Pure room that goes through this, this furnished hypoallergenic bedding and furniture and upholstery to just kind of minimize those potential irritants and things that go into a room that may not be as healthy as another room. And we've been able to align with Expedia, and now we're able to offer those rooms to not just our own website, but to anyone searching online through some of the major OTAs. And those rooms sell out faster than any other room that we have in the hotel.
Well, I think we have about 1 minute left, and I just wanted to personally thank Adrian and Helen for participating, and to all of our callers in as well, and I'm going to hand it over to Dina.
Thank you, Glenn, so much. I thank you all three for participating in this. I learned a ton, and I personally am one of those road-weary travelers that appreciates a pure room. So I wanted to remind everybody, if you are looking for learning units or CEUs, you will receive an email right after this webinar, and it will be asking you to respond with your phone number within 3 business days to Nicole Crawford at newh.org. So please be diligent and respond. And thank you very much for attending the NEWH Green Voice Conversations about sustainable design for guests. It was a great talk, and I wanted to thank our sponsors again, JLF Lone Meadow, Global Lighting, Northwest Carpets, and Valley Forge. Without them, these would not happen, so thank you very much. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Adrian. We really appreciate you and all that you've taught us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You.
And everybody have a lovely day.